This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Rasol, good evening to you, sir. How are you?
Great, and how are you, my brother? Welcome back. We've missed you so much.
Ah, thank you, my brother. You sound in good spirit, as always. Is everything all right, dear Brasol?
No, everything is perfect because I've been listening to you. Then I said, oh, my brother is back.
Eish.
But I was getting worried when the producer couldn't call me. I thought maybe she didn't have airtime. And that's why I insist, you know, this communications companies, I say to them, they should be sponsoring this show.
Eish, man. What's
so that it, so that it becomes available to as many people as possible. But also for them to subsidize those who will be calling in.
Absolutely.
Into this show,
absolutely. Know? Absolutely, Brasol. So yeah, it's an important week. It's an important month for people with disabilities or living with disabilities. To what extent would you summarize this importance? Because it's mainly about public awareness around challenges and the discrimination faced by people living with disabilities.
Yeah, basically this month we are looking at all the challenges that people with disabilities are facing, but at the same time, you are also identifying all the opportunities available. Opportunities whether coming from the public sector or the private sector or even civil society broadly. But at the same time, we also embark on a psychological campaign to arm our people who are disabled to say that they need to accept their condition and change their attitude, adopt a very positive attitude towards the challenges that they are facing. Because people are saying your attitude ultimately determines your altitude.
Mm.
And it's for this reason that tonight we have a very tenacious, resilient, vivacious, a very active person who will come and share his story with us so that
yeah.
he could be inspired.
Tell us about Masego. Tell us about Masego because Masego is already on the line.
Okay, Masego is an athlete. Some weeks ago, I said my nickname is Lopenfall.
Yes.
I'm taking after the legendary athlete.
Yes.
So today we have the real athlete. Masego is a multiple award-winning athlete, and I will hand over to her in the interest of time, and we all listen to her inspiring story.
Hello, Masego.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks, and yourself?
You know, you hear what Brasol says. He says, vivacious,
so
athletic, bombastic, all of these things.
All of
them. This is the real Magoya, not Lopen Falbom
Kobotelo.
Like me.
Oh, no.
So tell us about yourself, ma'am, and the sports as well. I mean, where does that all come from?
Oh, first of all, I'd like to say this is like a dream come true to be on Power FM.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
In 2004, Mr. Given Mukari gave us a motivational speaker, and I was doing my matric.
Mm.
And I would like to say that he's one of the most people who influenced my maths and me being a top learner at that time.
Wow. Wow.
I was so inspired from that. And I couldn't believe that, okay, this world is so small.
Yes.
So I'd like to appreciate
And let me tell you, he's listening.
Wow.
He always monitors me that time. He's listening.
Yeah, and one thing he said when he told us about his background and story,
yeah,
he was like, you are what you believe. And that you are what you believe, I still live by it even today.
Mm. Mm.
No one and nothing can take that away from me.
Mm.
Masego Martinez is a woman, young girl, born from Soweto in Dobsonville.
Mm.
My grandmother grew me up. I do have a mother and sisters, a brother, nieces and a nephew. And also, I also have my own son now. And I went to a school called Adelaide Tambo, where I did my grade 0 to 12. Best school ever. I had teachers and even physiotherapists who told me and gave me leadership skills that I have today. Mr. Memani, our principal, comrade, he was also the, what can I say, the engine of who I became or who encouraged me to be what I am today. And I'm saying I will never stop there. Yeah. I went to the University of Johannesburg to study sports management because sport is my passion. And at UJ, I started sport for people with disabilities. I started it first at UJ by recruiting every student in South Africa, I would say, because I went to the Eastern Cape, Kimberley, I went Northern Cape, I went to the Western Cape, KZN, to pick all those students who have matric and say, come register at UJ for any other course, whether it's a foundation course or a national diploma or a degree. Come find what you want to do. From that on, we received sponsors with the support of Henriette Vermaak and Sambat. Sambat was the president for UJ Sports at that time. But it is me who said, there are people with disabilities who have talent. Come, encourage them and give them hope.
Masaba, can I just chip in? Because our slogan here is about us without us. Can you tell our listeners what your disability is?
Oh, my disability is called congenital malformation. Congenital means from birth. Malformation means I'm not formed well. So what it means is I have three fingers on my hand, and my right hand is not equal to my left hand, which is the normal hand. And then on my left leg is shorter than my right leg. And I got four toes on my left leg, and it's 9 centimeters short to, so I do limp. I do have a limp. Sometimes for a long distance, I do need to use a crutch or two, depending how long the distance will be. But for instance, if we travel by in the airport, our coaches will make and our management will make sure that we use wheelchairs so that it's easier for us to have accessibility and that we don't get tired and such things.
And despite these disabilities, you went into sport. Tell us about your life in sport.
Well, my life in sport was and is great. I got to travel the world. I got to see and learn all these different languages. I can speak a lot of languages, by the way, even Chinese a bit, to introduce myself, like, ni hao or ni hao ma, ni xia shama, what is your name? And I'm open-minded, French, Portuguese. It's good to travel. And it makes you different, you know. Unlike if I wasn't playing sport, I wouldn't have been able to have all those that knowledge and way forward.
Yeah. So how do you make time to also speak to young people living with disability? And if that's the case, you know, what becomes your overriding message?
Okay. How do I contact with them? I still keep contact with them. For instance, those that I enrolled at UJ, I made sure that I get a job for them. I went to work for a recruitment company for 3 months just to get their database on that company, which is called Abacus, and now is EOH, where it is a recruitment company, and then they take people living with disabilities as well. So if not there, I do it myself. If I see an opportunity saying that we need people with disabilities, 10 of them, and they must have these qualifications, if I have their CV or I ask for their CV, I give it to them. But one message I would like to give is that people with disabilities shouldn't be intimidated, because I don't want to lie. Our government is giving us a NEFSA's bursary under the Department of Labor, which our fees at the university are paid for, fully paid for by the government of South Africa. They should take that advantage, use it so that they can equip themselves to have degrees, diplomas, and even continuously. I have a friend who has a PhD now. Her name is Sisanda Msekele. She works for Discovery. So there is, hence they say, the sky is not the limit. Do not feel pity for yourself and say, hey, I can't do this, I can't do that. Maybe I'm blind, maybe or like visually impaired or hard of hearing. You can still get more. You can still do more in life.
And how did you get into rowing? Because it's a very wide spot for me. And but also you have already spoken about your disability on your hand, but I saw pictures of you, with the rowing team.
It was a very difficult sport for me, and hence you say, like, why? My mom had the biggest problem than anyone in the family. He even told my teammates to slaughter a black chicken. Otherwise, because we swim in the lakes and dams, the snake of the lake is going to take me because I smell like blood. They smell like such things. But with rowing, how it came, it was a matter of my grandmother passed away in 2005, and we wanted to visit China. And I remember praying and saying, God, I need to get to China. That is the Beijing Paralympic Games in 2008, where I said, God, I am going to China. I don't know how. I don't know what you will do, but that's where I am going. And rowing came as an answer. We went to Germany to qualify, and then we came fourth, and there was only a spot for three countries. But because Africa had one team, they gave us a wild card, saying that we do believe that this team can make it. And overall, we came eighth overall in Beijing Paralympic Games. But how it came about, it was like a dream or something that I believed in and said, because I wanted to go with my grandmother to China, this is my chance. So 3 years after I qualified, I went to China. And it was the dream world that they said it would be.
What has sports done for you, Masego, that you are so grateful for?
Oh, a lot. In sports, we don't get paid in sports, especially as people with disabilities. But it opened my eyes in so many ways that, oh, there's more to achieve in this world. We are not segmented. We are not being, you know, it opened my eyes into so many opportunities that other people, for instance, even my sisters, when I come back and I say, hey, do you know that in this country, for instance, now, when I went to France in 2000, and I think it was 2000, I was 16 years old. I couldn't believe that white people were taking garbage. To me, it was like, no. People who take garbage, like,
And they clean your rooms as well, go to your hotel.
No. And white people, they own big houses. Black people, they own big houses. And I was like, wow. So life is not about this. It's also about that. And you can imagine, I was only 16 years old. So sport has opened so many doors for me. Even when they give us money for us to buy souvenirs, you know, I saved those euros because I was told that no, don't spend all of them, save them, and I saved them. And now, you know, come to think about, because I didn't know what currency was or it meant, but there is so much. There is just so much.
Yeah. Prasol.
Let's go from a sportsperson's perspective. What can government and corporates do to provide sufficient support to sportspersons with disabilities? You have just indicated that you are not making a living from your sports, even though you have won so many multiple awards. So what is it that sportspersons with disabilities could be affirmed by government and corporates and could also be able to make a living just like all other able-bodied sportspersons are able to do?
Okay.
What special plea can you make to government and corporates?
Okay. To government and corporates, I would like to say that since sports equipment for people with disabilities is expensive, they can come together and see what is it that they can do. For instance, a wheelchair, it's divided into four prices, if not five. Each wheel has its own price, cushion, frame, and other things that you use for a wheelchair, only one wheelchair for wheelchair people. If they can come together and decide, okay, we're going to give them this price. And also constant fundraising. For instance, we can use celebrities so that they can also even, because remember, if you sponsor people with disabilities as a company or an entity or whatever, your tax get lowered. And most people don't know that. Even people who, even private companies, they don't know this. So if they can come together to sponsor a chair, to sponsor a cushion, to sponsor what, if they come into an agreement, so that their taxes are lowered, it can be a better thing to do. And to also hire coaches from overseas because they are more experienced. Now, South Africa in wheelchair basketball is even beaten by a weak country, I can say. We could have been far if it was not about politics and fight taking place in that. So what I can say is come together, negotiate, talk about where should we take this. This country has the best talent ever. We have talented athletes. In all sporting codes, we have talented athletes. But if they can take that seriously, sponsors can be talked to. Okay, you train on a daily basis. This is what you can, a stipend at least. You can get a stipend, maybe 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, depending on the time you give yourself to play. So it can at least start like that.
How are you making a living, though, Maso?
Well, I work.
Oh, you
work? I work for a state-owned company. Mm-hmm. And that means I can't train every day. I cannot put my sports before my work. And I cannot take leave just because I'm representing South Africa.
Yeah.
Because now it's going to be unpaid leave.
That sounds unfair. I know able-bodied people. I mean, the guy who's a runner in Limpopo who won, I think it was the Comrades or one of these big marathons. Who was given time off, working for the provincial government, they're given time off to train and to go and participate, you know? So I'm surprised that you don't have the same leeway.
No, we don't. The only company, the company I'm working for now, is the only company that gave me special leave to go represent South Africa in the qualifiers. That was 2015 in Algeria. The rest of the companies I've worked for, they do not give you leave. They give you unpaid leave. So imagine you go and play sports representing your country. You come back, you don't even have money to pay for your rent. Who takes responsibility?
Yeah, this is not right.
It's, your passion is distorted.
Brasol?
No, that's why even the awards, they shouldn't just be about certificates and the trophies. I think they should also be accompanied by an envelope.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that, yes, you are able to can make a living out of your sporting achievements.
Absolutely.
But also just to say that I've launched a monthly magazine called Jumbo Africa Online, and I'm happy to say that Marcelo features in our sports section, and already we have received positive feedback from all over Africa.
Beautiful.
Because it's a digital publication.
Beautiful. It's called.
Well done,
give us the full details as we depart, Russell.
Okay. The publication is available on our website at www.brandhillafrica.com.
Jumbo Africa is called.
Yes. And then it is also on all social media platforms, Jumbo
beautiful.
Africa Online.
Beautiful, beautiful. Masego, people that want to interact with you, where do they find you?
They can find me on my Facebook, Masego Mukine. They can also find me actively on SASAPD, which is South African Sports Association for Physically Disabled, which is for information, just for information. If you want to join sports, any sports that you want to join, they will give you information there. And so on.
Thank you so much, Masego. May the good God continue to bless you. Thank you for your
thank
time.
Thank you very really much.
Okay, thank you, Masego. Thank you, my bro.
Thank you, Prasol.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.